What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, December 11th, 2017. I'm Tim Geddes. And for the first time ever hosting this show, the video game legend, Nick Scarpino.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, yes. I've waited 19 months to be on the show.
Yeah.
And finally, because of a lot of errors in timing and scheduling, they've brought me up from the minor leagues to the big show.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good show. Andy was supposed to be on the show.
Yeah.
But in classic Andy fashion, we called him right before the morning show started. And we're like, hey, where are you? And he goes, oh, I'm boarding an airplane.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, Andy. That does not helpful.
No,
to us.
That does not.
Not at all.
For whatever reason, we either didn't check with Andy or we were just moving too fast last week, but he booked his flight coming back this morning instead of last night, which is unfortunate.
So
will we continue to give him crap for that for the next 2 weeks?
Didn't Joey book his 100%. Flight?
Undeniably. Now
that sounds like a Joey move.
Here's the thing, to make it clear, Nick will not be a normal recurring host on this show.
No.
But every once in a while, we'll see how he does. Let him know in the comments.
Or not. Or just, you know, be like, good job, Nick. And then we'll move on. You guys can come watch me on the morning show every day at 11 a.m.
A little bit of housekeeping here. This is the last week of both the morning show and Kinda Funny Games Daily for the year of 2017.
It is.
Then we're going to take 2 weeks off of the live shows.
Yes.
Game Over Grady Show and Games Cast, Party Mode. Those will all still be going on.
Yes.
There's also a couple fun little surprises we're dropping. Is one of those surprises the last episode of the Kinda Funny Animated Series? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
You'll be getting that real soon. I'm excited about that. And also, we're brought to you by Lisa and Omaha Steaks, but we'll tell you about those later because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We get together, talk about all the nerdy video game news that you need to know about. You can be part of the show by going to kindafunny.com/KFGD, leaving your questions, asking the squad up. There's a whole bunch of different things you can do. And you got to keep us honest. While we're doing the show, if we mess anything up, if we get anything wrong, which something tells me today, we're not going to get anything wrong, you can go to kindafunny.com/you're wrong and let us know, and we'll read the corrections at the end of the show. You can get the show live on Twitch, you can get it on VOD on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or you can get it on podcast services around the globe. But before then, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. We got four news stories today.
Thanks, guys.
Baker's dozen.
There we go. So the first one kind of has a lot going on.
As he takes a giant sip of LaCroix.
PSX.
Oh, I got to hydrate.
I want to keep people on their toes.
I understand, man. You created that energy just now. Let's ride it.
PSX happened this weekend.
Yes, it did.
We did not go. Greg was there. Andy was there. Joey was there.
Yeah.
And I was planning on, you know, talking to them about what they experienced and all that. Mm-hmm. But hey. I guess we're just going to have
There's
to go
always
through
a show tomorrow.
The rundown from IGN
cool.
and what they all talked about and the things that we saw this weekend. Mm-hmm. Overall, top level, a lot of people were a little let down by this because their expectations were a little too high. Sony tried to temper them by being like, this is not the PSX of yore. There is not going to be a conference. It is going to be a more laid back kind of just demos on stage and whatever. People weren't expecting it to be as casual. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were saying it felt more like just a podcast that was like 4 hours long.
Nothing wrong with that.
But people did not like it.
Yeah.
But there was some really cool stuff there. God of War was shown off a little bit more. There wasn't any new trailer mm-hmm. or confirmation of a release date or anything, even though we're all expecting it to be March. But creative director Corey Balrog did note that the game will be around 35 to 40 hours long.
Whoa. How much longer is that than a normal God of War game?
Previous God of War games average about 10 hours.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of God of War.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of Kratos and Son.
It is. Kratos and Son.
Yeah, that's what I call it.
you got to add the subtitle of the game.
Yeah,
eventually.
There you go.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how they're going to make that last that long, but I think games are just they've gotten bigger, so even if it's not open world, there's still gonna be so much like shit to do.
Yeah.
Whereas like the old God of Wars were way more just kind of linear, mm-hmm. like hack and slashy type games. I think this one is a bit slower and more methodical.
It'll be interesting to see people's response to that, though, because there's a diehard contingent of God of War fans out there that I'm sure are yearning from that. Did it go away?
Yeah,
you think so? We haven't had one on this platform yet, on the current console.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's been a while since we've had a proper God of War mm-hmm. game. The last one, Ascension, was kind of a weird side story,
right.
sidestep. And it's
do you think that
way long since God of War 3?
Do you think that players have just evolved past that style of gameplay right now?
It's not so much players as much as I think it's just the industry.
Okay.
Like games... need to have a bit more meat on the bone. Like, I feel like the God of War 1 and 2 and even 3 were spectacles, right? Like, mm-hmm. they pushed the PS2 and PS3
right.
Really far, and they were, like, great things to show off, and it was just fun. It was, like, it was back when there was a novelty of the QuickTime events. I mean, God of War, if it didn't invent QTEs, it definitely
popularized them
sure. and was a major proponent of them. And I think that just kind of became a standard gameplay element mm-hmm. in video games. So I think that the novelty ran off there. And then also they just came out with too many of them. But I think that they've been gone for long enough. And Corey and his team have grown up. And Corey's had a kid. And I was talking to him. And he's like, the total reason Kratos has a kid is because he has a kid. Yeah, and he's sense. Learned some things and things have changed. And he's like, I know. He was saying that he knows that Kratos having a lack of character is one of the biggest criticisms of the God of War franchise. And so they're going back for this one and trying to make it, like, way more meaningful and emotional and have all those story beats. So
that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm all for more story beats and fleshing out characters.
Yeah,
why not?
I think it's going to be good. From everything we've seen of it, I'm very excited. They also showed a new Detroit Become Human on stage demo. Mm-hmm. That's the game you make the choices and stuff. That was probably my favorite part of the conference, or whatever you want to call it, the showcase, presentation. I don't know. Because all the audience got to, like, scream about what choices they wanted to make.
Oh, that's cool.
They saved the life of a fish. It was very dramatic.
Fantastic.
It was cool. But that game looks so good. And again, no release date for it. Like, there was this showcase was kind of just, it was interesting in that even after they tempered everyone's expectations, it still kind of felt lacking. Cause I think that even without, like, new trailers and new announcements or whatever, the release dates, like, we got to get them at some point because yeah. these are all early 2018 games or first half of 2018 games, and that's right around the corner. So it is kind of weird.
This is sort of their last opportunity to build hype for those, right?
At least this year,
going into the new year.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's nothing really happening in January through March.
That we know of.
Season kicks up.
Oh, yeah. Convention-wise, not. Mm-hmm. And, like, the thing is, we've seen these games enough, like most of the big ones, that mm-hmm. I don't think that they need a convention or, like, conference to make these announcements. Like, that could just be a press release. Sure. But it is just still kind of weird.
But it does beg the question of, like, isn't this, like, if you're going to have an expo based solely around PlayStation, like, isn't that supposed to be your one opportunity at the end of the year to build hype going into the new year?
Yeah, there's some questions we'll get to later that kind of talk about that. But yeah, PSX, I think, has turned way more into what it was originally pitched as, which is
fan expo.
Ultimate fan
yeah.
experience. And that's not to say that nothing was announced at this thing. Like, there was a lot of smaller titles, and some of them look pretty cool. But going forward, not small title at all. Last of Us Part II, Ashley Johnson and Troy Baker performed together. It was one of those moments, and it was pretty damn cool.
That's awesome.
They're so cool. Troy Baker, man.
He's too cool. He's sitting there.
There's a close-up of his hand on the guitar.
Of course.
And it's just like, and then he does the thing where he, like, moves his hair. He's just like,
I'm sorry, guys. Fuck, I have to, man. Just... Did he wipe away a tear at some point?
No, he didn't need to. I mean, the audience was just like, you know, they were feeling
God
it.
Bless him.
It was really cool. And also there was the Uncharted 10-year anniversary panel that Greg hosted. That was a lot of fun seeing everyone on stage. The PSX stage is so dope.
It was. Like, I saw you guys retweeting our logo on there.
It's fucking cool.
It was really cool. Like, that was a great moment over the weekend. When I saw that, I was like, this is the world
weird
we live in.
As hell,
this is
man.
A strange thing.
The Uncharted panel did a really cool thing where on the video walls behind him, it was like, all like the different characters.
I saw that. Yeah.
It looked really nice.
That looks really cool.
Death Stranding was talked about. Kojima was there. And a great quote that I pulled was, I'm trying to make something different. How to show that? How to have people see that? That's something I'm trying to figure out.
Definitely what you want to hear.
Yeah. Right?
Definitely what you want to hear, especially if you're one of the backers of that game.
So what is cool, though, is Marty Sliva over at IGN got to do a long interview with Kojima. And there's a lot more information from Death Stranding than I think we've ever really gotten since maybe last year when Greg interviewed him at RTX Australia. Mm-hmm. But check that out on IGN. It was a really good read, and it just kind of gets you into
Kojima's top level
head.
It for me. Can this be boiled down yet into if this game is about X?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, not yet.
Do you feel like it will ever be able to do
yes,
that?
I do.
Okay.
It's...
Because I saw the baby gif. The meme mm-hmm. that was going around with the baby with the all black, the shark's eyes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this?
I mean, there's been 3 trailers now.
Sure.
And when you put them together, you can start to understand the tone.
Mm-hmm.
What gameplay style? No one fucking knows.
Nobody knows.
Kojima's been very cryptic and weird about, like, the game's already started. It's like, who the fuck are you?
You're like, I don't think so, because I haven't played it yet.
But he's like, but he's Kojima, so he can say things like
that.
He
is, he is.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, he's one of the, he's a creator that, by all accounts, that I shouldn't vibe with, because I like straight up classic storytelling. Like, give me a linear story. I want to know where I'm at. I don't want it to be anything ambiguous. And man, when I played the last Metal Gear, which by the way was my first Metal Gear ever to play, I loved the hell out of it.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It was great gameplay. It's such great gameplay. And I think that's the problem. It's sad that MGS5 was the first one that you actually participated in story-wise.
I don't pay attention to a lot of things, though, so even if I had been following the series since 1, I probably would not know what the hell is going on.
I feel like Metal Gear Solid gets an unfair rap for how convoluted and complicated it all is, because it is. It entirely is.
Yeah.
But Metal Gear Solid 1 is not. Metal Gear Solid 1 is a story.
Right.
Start to finish, and it makes sense within its own world.
Sure.
Metal Gear Solid 3, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, start to finish, it tells a story. It's once you put those two on a timeline and then you add 2 and 4, that's when it starts getting a little bit crazy. But that's the fun of it, you know?
I feel like
Death Stranding seems like it's just off the cliff of insanity. And it's like, fuck it, we're starting over and we can do whatever the hell we want.
I'm ready for it, man, though. I'm ready for it, because why not? Why not have that experience? Yeah. Just give it a shot.
You don't need to be ready for it yet, Nick. It's probably going to be another 10 to 20 years.
Yeah, I'm fine for it. I'll play it when I'm 60 on my deathbed.
Yeah. But it looks interesting, and I'm happy that he's talking about it. Part of the interview with Marty, Marty addressed the criticism of like fans being like, stop making trailers, go make the fucking game, do this, whatever. And Kojima kind of talks about it. So check that out, because it is really cool. Soul Calibur 6, we saw the debut of it at Game Awards. We saw some gameplay at PSX. It's interesting. If you like Soul Calibur, Soul Still Burns, it's here, it's back, it's ready.
I don't know if they're still making Soul Calibur games.
When's the last Soul Calibur game come out? I don't remember. It was 5, and it was a while back, so this is a big deal that it's back. People are really hyped.
Cool.
New Monster Hunter World trailer with a pixelated Mega Man, so it's like 2D Mega Man, but in 3D.
What?
Yeah, so it's kind of like Minecraft-looky.
Oh, cool.
And it looks interesting. I mean, I don't understand Monster Hunter. It's not my thing, but Monster Hunter World seems to be a big step forward for the franchise, coming to PlayStation 4, and it's cool to see Capcom giving a fuck about Mega Man again. Seems like out of nowhere, they're just like totally 180'd, and they're like, you know what? He deserves better than this.
Right.
So that's cool. You don't actually play as him, but he's one of your little buddies.
That's fun.
Yeah. You can eat sausages with him.
You, me, Monster Hunter when it comes out.
Hell yeah, Nick. Let's get right in there.
Dive into that. Try to find a monster. Try to run around that big world. Try to find one and kill one.
In a very Tim Getty's Get Hyped moment, except I don't really care too much about this, Medieval Remastered announced.
Interesting.
Do you remember Medieval? I don't even know how to say it. Sword fighting game?
No,
Medieval. It's the one with like the skeleton, Sir Daniel, whatever the fuck. PlayStation 1 game. It's one of those PS1 classic games in the same category as like a Crash Bandicoot or Spyro, that type of stuff. Different type of game, but still, it's like one of those like gone but not forgotten, but very close to being forgotten type things. It's weird they're bringing this back. Like, I'm happy. It's obvious they saw the success of Crash Bandicoot, and they're like, we gotta keep doing
this. So is it like
this.
Crash, where it's just gonna be an up-res kind of port?
Yeah, they're still being a little ambiguous about it. It's gonna be in 4K. They've already remade this game on the PlayStation Portable many years ago. So it's a weird choice, for sure. But we'll see, and I hope that this does well and they do it for other games like Spyro and shit, but I don't know. Seems very weird.
Okay.
Dreams was finally shown off. There's a whole bunch of previews up. Greg got to play it. He'll talk about that on Gamescast this week. It seems just as weird as it always has been since they announced it. It finally starts to look like a game now.
Okay.
Before it was super ambiguous. Now it's ambiguous in the way that you're like, all right, Little Big Planet was making 2D platformers, but then you can also kind of use that system to do other things. Whereas this is kind of like, there's a 3D world and you can kind of do whatever the fuck you want. And it's really going to depend on how much of the community makes cool shit, or else there's no real game there. So we'll see. Definitely not my type of game, but people seem interested in it. Don't think it's going to do too well, but who knows? They're saying spring 2018 for that one. They did a gameplay demo of Concrete Genie, which is that weird graffiti looking thing.
I'm in.
And yeah, it's again,
cool, Greg,
this is such an example of where PSX is at now, where they're just like, hey, you know that really weird game we showed off at Paris Games Week? We're just going to show you a demo of it. And it's like, who the fuck cares? But that's the way you get people to care about these more obscure random things. And then a whole bunch of just other random small games were announced. So Donut Country, a physics adventure game where you control a hole in the ground.
Sounds like it's coming to PlayStation right up Kevin's 4 alley.
In 2018. And yeah, a whole bunch of other games. Guns of Icarus, Alliance, Children of Morta, Fantasy Strike, Mulaka, Moonlighter, Tower 57. I don't know most of those, but Moonlighter looks super cool. It's just like dope-ass pixelated style.
Kevin just heard that joke.
On delay, And then a new trailer for BlazBlue, which I don't know how to say that. The fighting game. BlazBlue.
BlazBlue?
BlazBlue?
I don't know. BlazBlue.
Cross Tag Battle was shown, confirming the game will be released for PlayStation 4 in North America in 2018. I love the art style of that game, and it features Ruby characters.
Oh, fun.
Ruby and Weiss, which is super freaking cool. PlayStation VR. It's very weird.
So weird.
PSVR, whole bunch of announcements. Some big, some small. All seem pretty cool. A VR experience set in the world of The Last Guardian was revealed for PSVR. Players will be able to interact with Trico in a standalone experience that lasts for about 15 to 20 minutes. It will be available for free on the PlayStation Store December 12th. So that's right around the corner. Sounds a little bit scary to look up at that big fucking cat dog looking thing.
Yeah.
Bird dog. Sony also announced Wipeout Omega Collections coming to PlayStation VR via a free update in early 2018. Wipeout in VR sounds like
It sounds like it's going to give me some sort of like
death.
Yeah. So, like I'm going to go into some sort of like stroke or something like that on it.
On top of that, Firewall First Contact, a team-based 4v4 tactical first-person shooter from developer First Contact Entertainment, was revealed for PlayStation VR. The game will support the PSVR aim controller. And Knockout League, an arcade boxing game which features 9 different fighters coming to PSVR. Rick and Morty Virtual Rickality. And finally, Jupiter and Mars, a new underwater adventure for PlayStation VR. So a lot of PlayStation VR. I'm shocked that they're supporting it as much as they have been. I totally thought they were going to give up after that first wave. And I was so wrong. Paris Games Week, they came and were like, here's a bunch more.
Interesting.
And now they look at this. It's like, no, we're going to keep supporting this thing. And the sales numbers came out and they were very impressive and in line with what Sony needed to sell for it to be considered a success. So
interesting. So it's not falling more into the category of the Vita.
No, not yet, at least. We'll see.
I still think VR and 3D are gimmicks, but that's my thing.
Then we got a fun news story from PSX here.
Let's go.
I'm just gonna read the IGN story, dude.
Let's do it.
Sean Layden, the president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment America, hinted that players could be able to change their PSN names by the next PlayStation experience.
What will people complain about now?
He says, quote, let me put it this way. I hope we'll see events occur so that you don't have to ask me that question next PSX. Layden said to Kind of Funny's Greg Miller when Miller asked players could change the PSN names during the PSX opening celebration. Of course Greg is going to be the fucking asshole.
Yeah, of course he is. That's okay. Greg's the consummate heel.
So this is like, is this a news story? Not necessarily, but it's like, all right, at least they understand that people want this. And
it's definitely a news story. It's definitely a news story. This is something people really, really want.
No, it is a news story. Sorry. But it's like, will it happen? I don't know. Because the quote
sounds
is,
like
let me put
on
it this way. I hope we'll see events occur so that you don't have to ask me that question.
I think
year.
You can infer from that that they're going to make it work. By
or
next
he's saying that he hoped Greg Miller dies.
That's also possible given the way so Greg lives his life.
But Greg was rewarded for his question with Patapon 2 Remastered being announced for PlayStation 4. According to PlayStation Blog, the sequel to the rhythm-based 2D platformer will be released on PlayStation 4 sometime in 2018. This remastered port will feature 4K support on PS4 Pro, brand new minigames, new Patapon types and evolutions, and 8 drum rhythms. Players will also be able to create their own Patapon hero. Patapon 2 follows the Patapon tribe separated from their Zygoton compatriots. They arrive on a strange new island and must search for Earthend while fighting through mysterious new enemies and creatures. Fighting through them. It's the only way.
Only way out is through.
The original Patapon came to PS4 earlier this year, and like Patapon 2 Remastered, it features improved visuals and 4K support on PS4 Pro. Greg Miller, I heard him scream when this was announced.
Yeah, I can imagine he lost his shit for that.
Yeah. Are you interested in Patapon 2, Nick?
No, but I know how we were talking about tattoos on the Game Over Greggy Show, another popular podcast over on that that non-games channel that we do, and Greg was saying one of the tattoos that he wants is Patapon. And I was like, you must be a really big fan then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
All right.
Where are you at on that?
I never played.
Really?
Sounds like it's up my alley. Mm-hmm. Like platformer style rhythm game. I'm like, yeah. All right. And on PSP, I love the PSP.
Sure.
Why not? But yeah, I never really gave it a shot. Maybe I should for this one. The second news story of the day comes from Kotaku. Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection announced. It's Street Fighter's 30th anniversary, and to mark the occasion, Capcom is grabbing a large armful of old games and releasing them all in one package. The bundle contains almost everything coming before Street Fighter 4, with the exception of the 3D EX games, from the 1987 original through to Third Strike. Now, I'm going to read you the list of these games, Sting.
Wow.
We got Street Fighter.
Yeah.
We got Street Fighter 2, which I've never played.
I've never played Street Fighter either.
Yeah.
That's because it's not a fighting game, right? Isn't it a 2.5D, like, brawler? Like, side-scroller brawler?
I don't know.
Am I crazy? Played it.
Yeah, okay. You might be right. That, I mean, Streets of Rage is that, and there's some other games.
I could but be
yeah,
could
let us know. Kindofunny.com/ you're wrong. It definitely isn't as traditional looking as Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter Alpha, Street Fighter Alpha 2, Street Fighter Alpha 3. I'm a big fan of the Alpha games. Street Fighter 3, Street Fighter 3 Second Impact, and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. In addition to just straight releasing the games, which they're saying are arcade perfect, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Alpha 3, and Third Strike will all feature online multiplayer. Due out in May 2018, Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection is coming to PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch. There was a super hype trailer for it, and you should check it out. It was like going through the legacy of Street Fighter. I'm like, hell yeah, man. It's a very important franchise to video games, and it's cool to see them doing this. I remember they did it, I want to say, for the 20th anniversary as well. And they released a collection on the PlayStation 2 and Xbox, original Xbox. And I played the hell out of that.
That's fun. It's hard to believe that game came out in 87.
Yeah, Street Fighter 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is nuts. 30th anniversary.
I know. That means that checks out, though, because I was playing Street Fighter 2 early 90s, I must have been. So that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that when it was in the arcade?
Mm-hmm. Oof. Third story. Square Enix is interested in modernizing past games for the Nintendo Switch. This comes from NintendoInsider.com. Square Enix CEO Matsuda said, Square Enix CEO Matsuda has spoken about his desire for the company to make as many of their older titles available as digital releases on newer platforms like Nintendo Switch. He recognizes that there are younger generations that may have heard about their past games but have no means to play them on modern consoles, although he adds that they must modernize them rather than relying on straight ports. Quote, "One of our other big initiatives is to get as many of our past titles available via digital releases. Among the younger generation's gamers, you've got lots of people out there who have heard of our past titles but have never had an opportunity to play them. So we think that the program of porting and transferring the older titles over to the newer platforms, such as the Switch, is very important so that people get the awareness of our back catalog. Just straight ports isn't cutting it. We need to update those and modernize them to make something that works for modern gamers too. Examples of this stance can be seen with Final Fantasy VII and IX's return on PlayStation 4 and PC, which not only saw Square Enix make graphical improvements, but introduced new features such as Character Booster that let you freely increase your HP, MP, and gil so you can simply enjoy the story." This is great news for me. I love this. It gives me hope that we might get the Final Fantasy VI remake that we deserve on the Nintendo Switch. That is one of the few Final Fantasy games that hasn't had some type of update, not including the iOS port that was garbage. And I think that it'd be right at home on the Switch. And I think that is a game that, I mean, Final Fantasy VII, obviously, everybody loves. But Final Fantasy VI is the other one up there that people talk about being one of the greatest games of all time. And I would love to see that modernized and what that looks like, especially if they decide to use the Project Octopath Traveler graphic style for it, which they won't do because that's just too good to be true. How fucking awesome would it be? It'd be very awesome.
Blow your socks off.
But yeah, there's a lot of things they could do with this. Like they could do a bunch of shit with Dragon Quest, all the Final Fantasies. Mm-hmm. Like if they wouldn't do this because I think it'd be like just too much value for one thing, but they could like put it out as like Final Fantasy Collection Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Where it's like Final Fantasy 1 through 6 and then 7 through 10 or whatever. But also with the power of the Switch, like they could even do like a Final Fantasy 13 collection where it's 13-2 and Lightning Returns.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's an audience for that. It's not me, but that could be cool. And also then there's things like Tomb Raider and stuff like that that are still Square games. Tomb Raider on the Switch could be interesting. The Crystal Dynamics one, like the 2013 one.
I'd go back and play those.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
For sure.
Yeah. And then this fourth one here, the last story. I like this one a lot.
Okay.
And it's interesting. It's just kind of a random fun thing that I came across over on Reset Era. So I'm going to give you some required reading here to go to thezerorreview.com mm-hmm. and to read their GoldenEye story, because their GoldenEye story is pretty interesting. GoldenEye 007's IP just became a lot less complicated. So this comes off of the whole thing of licensing getting in the way of GoldenEye being reissued.
Right. Like, wait, who owns the licensing right now? Is Rare still on?
So that's what gets complicated. So Perfect Dark, right?
Right.
We've seen it updated on Xbox 360, and they put out Perfect Dark HD, and there was the sequels and all that. For GoldenEye, we have seen sequels. There was the GoldenEye Rogue Agent, and there was GoldenEye Reloaded, but both of those weren't really good. But the idea of taking the original GoldenEye and either remastering it or updating it or something, the reason there's always been so much trouble with that is where the licensing lies, because Rare and Nintendo did it, but obviously people have, so both of them share, Nintendo has more than Rare
right.
In terms of ownership of that. Now Microsoft bought Rare, so that complicates things. And then there's just the James Bond license in general.
Right, which is probably.
And then there's the GoldenEye license, which is separate.
Yeah.
So things are really complicated. But the Zero Review did some snooping and found out some fun things here. However, the situation just recently became a little bit less complicated. Typically, certain customs copyrights, those used to sell products across the world, have a lifetime of 20 years. Now, Nintendo would have needed to file this copyright in order to be able to sell GoldenEye 007 around the world. It takes time for these copyrights to take hold, but once the process is started, having a pending copyright is usually enough to begin production and sale of a game. In this case, Nintendo filed for their copyright before the game's release on August 25th, 1997. However, according to this copyright record that he looked through, its effective date began on December 10th, 1997, which is exactly 20 years ago as of yesterday, meaning Nintendo no longer has a custom copyright on the N64 version of GoldenEye 007.
Ooh.
What does this mean? Nothing.
Nothing.
But it could mean something, and I think that's exciting, because there's very few games.
Is it
games.
Exciting?
Yeah, it is. I feel
is GoldenEye really a property that people are clamoring for?
I mean, I feel like it could
an
be.
An Upros port, maybe, but like.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, like,
this
yeah,
would be
yeah.
the first time.
But and, like, and there's granted, not yeah. much more they can do with that, with GoldenEye as a property, from my perspective. Because while it was great back in the, mid to late 90s,
yeah.
when that game came out, when that was hot. I just don't think that, I don't know that it has the same cachet as it used to have.
I mean, it definitely doesn't.
Yeah.
And also, the game does not hold up. But I feel like they could bring it out and modernize the controls a bit.
Oh,
and like
have
add
to,
some,
yeah. No
the
one
dual
uses
stick.
One analog stick anymore.
Yeah. But and then, like, I imagine that on Switch. That
I would play this. Don't get me wrong. I would play it, and I would absolutely play four-player split screen, and they have to keep the split screen.
I'm sure
somehow.
They would. That's
they
the thing. There's
that,
definitely
right?
a nostalgia trip there that
yeah,
they can cash in on.
Because it was, I would definitely do that. I would go down that. I would actually play the first-person campaign again, or the single-player campaign, rather, again, just to go down memory lane. But I'm also 78 years old.
Yeah.
And I remember all the Bonds when they were still alive. So go figure.
All right, so that was all the news. Now it's time for the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. Yeah, no, that's just a Greg thing. He gets mad when I don't do it.
Okay.
So that was for you, Greg.
I was going to, FYI, Greg, you're probably watching this because you're crazy. I was going to wear your Santa hat today, but we couldn't find it. So
he might have it.
Guess you broke that promise, didn't you?
Do you see those pictures of him as Spider-Man? Well,
no,
I guess it wasn't
I
him.
Saw Spider-Man,
yeah.
Which I'm so jealous that he got to meet Spider-Man mm-hmm. at PSX. That's mm-hmm. so cool. You know, every once in a while, Spider-Man drops by here. I don't think you've actually met him yet.
I haven't yet.
I've had the pleasure of meeting him a couple times. He's mm-hmm. really, really cool.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy.
He's a nice
taller
dude.
Than I thought he'd be.
Yeah.
A lot hairier, too. Yeah.
Out today, no new games out today, which is weird. I don't think, as far as I've been on the show, there's no new games. But technically, because of how time zones work,
mm-hmm.
PUBG. Coming to Xbox One tonight. On Major Nelson's website, he says, to prepare you for the jump onto the island, we wanted to share the exact times the game will be available on Xbox One across the world. As with all multiplayer games, especially those with 100-person matches, as more players and servers come online around the globe, the shorter wait times will become, and the faster you'll be able to get into matches. So players in New Zealand and Australia, be patient. He's saying this because throughout the world, it's going live at different times.
Okay.
America tonight, 9 p.m. Pacific time is when it's going to be available. America's one of the last ones. So by the time America gets in, there's probably going to be a whole bunch of people playing. But
we're
New Zealand
behind
and Australia
people.
Are like on the early
How
end
will
of
we
that.
Catch up?
So pretty exciting, man. PUBG that's, on console.
That's awesome. That's awesome. PUBG's
real,
super fun.
Fun.
Will I get better at it if it's on console? Probably not. Will I still play it? I'll play it again if it's on console, sure.
Yeah.
But it has to come to PS4.
Yeah, you're going to be waiting.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Quite a while there.
Yeah.
Now it's time for Read and Mail, brought to you by Lisa and Omaha Steaks. Let me tell you about Lisa right now. Lisa, mattresses, fantastic, right? Oh, Joey sleeps on them.
Yeah.
These things, soft as a cloud. I've never laid on Joey's bed, but if I did, I'm sure her rave reviews would be accurate.
We should go while she's out of town, break into her apartment, lay on her bed.
I don't know about that, but okay.
Just throwing out ideas right now, guys. We're just brainstorming. Cool Greg can get us in. He can get in anywhere.
That is a fact. I can get you in on a huge deal, Nick. Right now, you can go to lisa.com/kindoffunny and enter promo code kindoffunny, and you get $100 off of your mattress. They started as $525. With $100 off, it's even less than that.
It's $425.
That's there you go. Super accurate. Mattress is usually like $1,000. Yep. You have to go to the showroom. You have to talk to people. I don't like talking to people.
No, they make me lay down, and it's creepy to me.
Laying down is one of my favorite things to do.
You do, but I don't like when people are like, how do you feel? I'm like, I don't know, watching me. It's weird. Yeah. That's what's weird.
But Lisa mattresses have the universal adapted feel. Its three foam layers provide support, pressure relief, and cooling that adapts to all body shapes, sizes, and sleeping styles. You get a 100-night trial, so if you don't like it, they'll come back and take it. No questions asked. They're like, boom, we'll take it. They donate it to charity. Everyone wins.
Interesting.
Yeah, but you're going to like it. You're getting a damn good night's sleep.
There it is.
Lisa.com/kindoffunny. That's LEESA.com/kindoffunny. And enter promo code kindoffunny. Now, Nick.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about a little thing called Omaha Steaks.
Oh, that's sweet, sweet protein.
Remember Extra Life when Greg made all that, meat?
Oh, yeah, I did. The kielbasa.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
Kevin calls it hand meat.
Why, Nick?
Because he walked around with it in his hand and ate it. Isn't that right, Kevin? Hand meat? He'll catch up in about 5 seconds.
For only $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter code KFGAMES in the search bar. That's 75% off. Now, let me tell you what you get in that pack.
There he is.
And for less than $50, you get 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin. 4 caramel apple tartlets, and 1 Omaha steak seasoning packet. And if you act now, you'll get 4 additional kielbasa sausages, a.k.a. hand meat. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter code KFGAMES in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. It's the gift guaranteed to be a hit. You've already heard the story about Greg Miller's dad buying it and buying it for Greg. And everybody gets meat. It's happy holidays.
It's my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite read.
Yeah.
It's making me hungry. And guess what we're going to get for lunch?
We're getting some meat.
We're going to go meet the meat. Meet the meat.
All right. Now let's get to the questions.
All right.
Quinn has a question about PSX. So I know that PSX was supposed to be a chill time this year and that Sony really tried to temper expectations for this year's conference, but this one had me worried. I didn't expect new games or demos, but I did expect release dates of games like God of War. You previously quoted Sean Layden saying that any 2018 games were first half games. I now fear that this year's release schedule is slipping. What are your thoughts? Like I said earlier, I am surprised that we haven't gotten any release dates for 2018. But I am not worried. Sony's done such a good job, specifically in the last year, in terms of having a very steady release calendar of their big hits. And when we know that there is so many AAA Sony exclusives coming out in 2018, like they have a stacked lineup. And my concern would be more like, how are they gonna, like, where do they all fit? It's not going to be, are they going to make it?
Right.
We know that a couple of these games are going to get delayed, if not actually delayed by having a release date that gets pushed back, but delayed in the sense of like, oh, we're just not going to hear about the release date for a while.
Right.
Something like Last of Us Part 2 and Death Stranding come to mind. Like those in 2018, not going to happen.
Well, yeah.
Naughty Dog did say at PSX this weekend that Last of Us Part 2 is between 50 and 60% complete.
Okay.
And that we will see more at E3, which makes sense because we missed it last year at E3, so you can expect kind of a bigger blowout this year. But with things like God of War, it's like, I think it's pretty safe to imagine that's going to be a March release. God of War games have, if I remember correctly, always had March releases, and this seems very, very far along. And I think they're just waiting for the right time to kind of come out and make that announcement. And a lot of people would argue, oh, PSX sounds like the right time to do that. And I would agree with you, but that's sounds interesting. Like
they got 2 real options on that one, and PSX is one of them. Yeah, sure.
And then there's things like Dreams. There's fucking Spider-Man, and then... Detroit Become Human. So it's like, where are all those? And then Days Gone is the other big one. Like, it starts to get interesting trying to piece them all together. But I also think that there is a narrative that's kind of easy to look at when you're like, all right, cool. This is going to come in March. This is going to come in May. This comes in June. This comes in August. And it's like, or July, wherever things fit. And we'll see. But I'm not fearful yet because Sony's been really killing it. And I think that they're going to continue to in 2018. Brockarock says, I know that Sony ahead of the kickoff wanted to temper expectations, but man, was that stream ever a letdown. I think this is the first event that I've ever seen streamed where I actually felt bad for people that paid to be there. I know many would say that this sentiment is very much a perspective of entitled gamers complaining about every little thing, but even comparing this to previous PSX events, it was just awful. I actually enjoyed listening to developers' perspectives and roundtables, but having something like this on a huge stage with an E3 scale hype trailer beforehand just doesn't seem the right tone for the event. Do you think that this just shows Sony stretching itself too thin with all the coverage throughout the year? Is PSX even an event that needs to be held anymore, with now having Paris Games Week and E3 being the big events throughout the year? Or maybe it's an event that just doesn't need a streaming keynote kickoff at all. Your thoughts? And Greg, I really enjoyed your interviews at the end and the demo of the new Concrete Genie. I'll make sure that I let Greg know that. What do you think?
I think that if you're going to throw a show on this magnitude, you owe it to your audience to come through with it. Now, granted, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a little bit more of a chill, relaxed environment, but it does sound, I mean, granted, I don't watch any of this. This is my perspective of hearing this and then having seen the image. Mm-hmm. I would have expected something much bigger from Sony, mm-hmm. seeing that stage, seeing the LED backdrop, seeing all like that. I saw that image of The Last of Us and all the characters and everyone sitting there. And I'm like, this is a grand, grand, grand thing that they're trying to do. But it sounds like it's very, very intimate. So those two do kind of sound like they're counteracting each other a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, as we've kind of gone on in the industry in the last couple of years, where before it was just kind of E3 for announcements, mm-hmm. we're now in a world where Paris Games Week matters, Gamescom matters, and we haven't really seen any event where they matter for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like it's been a while since both Sony and Microsoft have both had a conference at one of those events, where it's either one or the other,
right?
And I think that PSX this year it is kind of shocking to me. Like I don't know why Paris Games Week, like what they showed at Paris Games Week, wasn't just PSX. The only theory I have is they were trying to take away some of the mind share from the Xbox One X coming out.
It's possible.
So they wanted to maybe get ahead of it a little bit. Because it is kind of weird. And it seemed like they did have, I mean, they've set precedent over the last couple of years with PSX of what it means to have that keynote. And they did get ahead of it with this, and people are being entitled because they made it very clear what this is going to be. And I think that we actually got more than I expected from it. I didn't expect any announcements. There was a whole bunch of smaller games. And I think that's what PSX is trying to be. Mm-hmm. And it's important for, even though this didn't have giant ass announcements.
Sure.
It's cool that on that stage, we get to hear about a bunch of random smaller games, you know, and to see things like to see Dreams, which is a bigger scale game from one of their main studios. But to see it kind of get its due is a good thing, and it needs a place somewhere. And I think these are the type of announcements that bog down the E3 shows.
Well, it's also weird to me that they're doing it. They've always historically chosen to do this toward the tail end of the year. And I'm like, this is sort of one of those things that I almost wish that there'd be a conversation of like, hey, maybe we should move this to the beginning of the year and have it be the hype for 2018, right? Mm. Which is kind of what this is anyway. Yeah. But I always like, just the way I've always looked at the industry and the way we used to when I first came into the industry was like, December was the time that everything, you got rewarded for everything, right? That's the time, that was the second big push for when all the games come out. And so, I don't know, mindshare-wise, I'm always like, oh, this is the time to reflect and play the stuff that's out right now and not necessarily be like super hyped about what's happening next year.
Those days are gone.
But that's PSX, the problem is that there's so much stuff now all the time.
Yeah, between PSX and Game Awards, early December is now a major announcement era. It's interesting. But I do think the key thing to keep in mind is when you're talking about like, I feel bad for the people paying. They're not paying for the keynote.
Yeah, there's a whole expo based around this. They get to hang out with each other,
play the games, and to have the community, right, and to meet Kojima and meet all these people. And I think that PlayStation does a really good job with PSX. I'm a little bummed we didn't get to go this year, but I'm also happy that I'm here.
It's awesome. It looks like a lot of energy.
My dog Nick96 says, I'm interested to see how Media Molecules Dreams plays out. The previews I've seen for PSX make it sound promising. I was a big fan of Little Big Planet 1 and 2 back in the day, and the creation tools for Dreams sound like they've been taken to the next level. I'm now a believer in Dreams and will be picking it up. How successful do you think Dreams will be? Are you still skeptical? I'm very skeptical. Mm-hmm. I think that it's asking a lot of users. And I don't know that people are going to want to.
Is this similar to like Mario World? Like when people is that
Mario Maker?
Mario Maker, excuse me, not Mario World.
Yeah, but I mean it's 3D and it's most similar to Project Spark, I'd say. You familiar with that? Xbox early.
Sure.
It's just like
I remember the term.
3D creation
and okay.
it's super weird and abstract and I don't really fucking get it. And it's definitely not for me. I think it'll do fine. And the thing is, it's just like Little Big Planet. When there's a community of people that want to build this and want to create, they're going to. And there's going to be people that make some crazy shit in Dreams. And it's going to be super awesome. How long will that last?
Right.
What's the ecosystem look like for something on the PlayStation 4? Will it be a success? I think first we need to understand where Sony expects this to hit. This is not going to be Horizon. This is not going to like push anything in like a huge way. When you compare Dreams to the rest of their lineup, it's a little weird. I don't think it's going to do nearly as well, but that's also cool. They have room to play and do something that's just super fucking different.
Sure.
And it's cool that it's selling people on it, because for a long time I didn't believe this game was ever going to come out. Didn't believe it existed. Joe Killa, great name. What is your read on Ready Player One? With Chun-Li, Tracer, Lara Croft, Battletoads, and more, could this be the best video game movie ever made?
No. I saw the second trailer today. And I will say that it's I think the problem they're having with the marketing of this movie is that they're having to explain it to a lot of people who don't understand video games at all. So like, and this is a problem I have with trailers, is that the first 30 seconds is like, hey, here's who I am. Here's the world. Here's what we're doing. Here's what happens. Here's this. And then finally toward the tail end, we start getting some plot details. And I'm like, oh, this is a cool story, right? Like anyone who's read the book knows that there's a big Easter egg that's happening. If whoever finds it gets control of the Oasis and trillions of dollars or whatever it is. So that gets me a little hyped, but I feel like this might be one of those things where they might drown in all of the awesomeness that they have. So I'm worried that it's going to be way too convoluted. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of Easter egg and it's really, really cool. And it's playing off of a ton of nostalgia. I said it today in the morning show. The first teaser ended with the Willy Wonka, like bing, boom, boom. This one, did you notice, ended with the sound effect from Back to the Future. So I'm like, I don't want to be dragged into this, but every time I feel like I'm out, you pull me back in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think this is going to be the best. I don't think this is going to be the best video game, quote unquote, movie.
Yeah.
Basically, it's actually, by the way, not a video game movie.
Yeah. It's just going to have a bunch of video games. It's going to have a bunch of video game characters in it. It's weird where I don't think it's going to be good. But from watching the trailer, I do think that this movie has a unique style to it. And the way that the CG looks and like the way things move, I've never seen a movie do it before. And I think that interests me. Like seeing the way that, like in the same way that like World War Z, for example,
sure,
seeing the hordes and stuff, it's like that was, it wasn't good, but it was new and fresh, right? Like you've never seen something like that. That this movie kind of reminds me of that. And I don't know how that's going to translate into a
I would have agreed with you had I not just watched Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets over the weekend. And it was the exact same thing where I'm like, wow, this is a really cool style. And then about 15 minutes in, I was like, all right. I get it. This is a very interesting world that we're creating here, and it's really cool. And then 30 minutes in, I was like, what is happening in this movie? And then it ended, and I was like, that could have been an hour long of a really cool movie, but they chose to really rely on the spectacle of it. And after a while, like, I'm sorry, I don't care. After a while, if it's an animated movie, I buy it. I'll watch it for 2 hours. But if it's a movie that's supposed to be in that faux reality of like maybe this is supposed to look real, it's not gonna get me.
Yeah.
It's gonna just be a bunch of CG characters and I'm gonna not have a connection to.
Yeah, it's, we'll see. I mean, I'll still cool see it. Seeing all these different characters.
I'll give it a shot.
Because some of them are super random.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I mean, they went deep down the lineup.
Yeah.
That Kotaku article you linked me to that had all the Easter eggs, I was like, there's a lot of characters. Like Chucky was in it. Yeah. I was like, how did Chucky?
The fucking Gundam, though. I was like,
Andy.
Keep it in your pants.
Stupid Andy.
It's stupid. Where the fuck is he? All right. Hey, guys, Campbell Jones.
I bet you $5 he lands in Texas and is like, fuck. I totally messed this up.
My bad. I don't know why I gave him that voice.
I don't know either.
Pomeranian.
All right. Campbell Jones says, Tim, the champion's ballad sucks. I love Breath of the Wild. I spent hundreds of hours getting shrines and just exploring Hyrule on my favorite handheld, the Nintendo Switch. So when it was announced, I was anxious to jump into the champion's ballad, but much to my dismay, Nintendo shot the bed. I can't help feeling like they shouldn't have come out this year and should have been delayed to a more substantial analysis of the champions and not just be some hand-fisted shrines that don't do anything to help make the post-game content more substantial. It's eerily familiar to Final Fantasy XV and the patched-in story chapters. Did Nintendo shit the bed, or am I off base here? So if you didn't know, Nick, the Zelda DLC Pack 2 came out.
Oh, I did not know that.
After the Game Awards, and it's available. Like they're like available tonight.
Have you played this?
I beat it this weekend.
Okay.
I'll be giving my full review and impressions on Gamescast later this week. But to address Campbell Jones here, I think you're being a little harsh. However, yeah, I was a little
not off base.
I was a little let down.
Okay.
How
could you not be let down though after playing Zelda Breath of the Wild?
Well, just because
like it's such a good, almost perfect game.
Here's the problem. I'm let down because I expected something new.
Sure.
And instead I just got more.
You got a rehashing.
Yeah. I just got more shrines. And it's like I can't complain about that. They're some of the best shrines in the whole game. And it is fun, and a lot of the stuff is really great. There are parts of this I'm like, oh, this is tedious. Like you're taking the fun out of Zelda. The biggest complaint I have is you get to a part where instead of shrines, there's this other thing that comes up that has three pillars on it, and there's like four of them throughout the world. You go to them, and on each pillar, there's a slice of a map that you look at.
Mm-hmm.
You need to look at it and find it on the map. And go there to find the shrine. And it gets really tedious where I'm just like, it's just kind of like a Where's Waldo we looking for the. I'm like, this is just padding. And
you know what that sounds like to me is when you had that stupid ball shrine where you had to actually do this.
Oh, there's some motion control shrines.
Boy, I hated that. I hated that.
So that stuff is just tedious and takes time. They do some really cool new ideas with some of the shrines. And I just think that everyone hyped themselves up, especially because it's been so long since Breath of the Wild came out that we expected like a new area or a new power with the little fucking thingamagob. What's it called? The Sheikah Slate.
Yeah.
Okay. Like a new power for it. And instead, we just kind of got just more shrines. And again, they're great shrines. So it's like I'm kind of stuck with it. And going back to Zelda was great. The 6-7 hours I played it, I was just like, holy shit. This game is fantastic. But yeah, I was definitely a little bit let down overall. Let's see.
What else you got for me?
Tim from Dublin has a really long one. Okay. But I want to read it because I think that there's some cool insight in this.
Good. Okay. It's good for Tim from Dublin.
It is. Tim from Dublin.
Give him one, you know? Lives all the way out there in Dublin.
This will be our last question for the day. Hello, Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host. After last night's Street Fighter Bonanza reveal, I have to ask the question. Has 2017 truly been the beginning of the Capcom redemption story that we've all been waiting impatiently for a very long time? Capcom began 2017 with the release of Resident Evil 7, a game which by most accounts brought the series back on track as well as bringing back dormant Resident Evil players who disliked where the series had gone, i.e. everybody. In addition to this, Capcom announced that the Chris Redfield DLC would be free for all Resident Evil 7 owners. Free DLC from Capcom. What? On the other side of the Capcom coin, things did not look so hot, however, specifically in terms of their fighting game division. Let's get the bad news out of the way first. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite still looks like dog shit. Yeah, I hear it's fun to play, but graphically, it's not up to scratch, and with its announced before the game's even released DLC roster, and the rumored budget to be less than that of Street Fighter V's DLC budget, one can only cynically assume that Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was A, rushed to market, and B, produced with the hope that the mega marketing that the Marvel name automatically brings to any product would allow them to undercut the budget. The idea being that a certain percentage of the game's sales would sell on the name alone to young Marvel fans. Street Fighter V had another rough year too. Capcom took a huge risk with only bringing back one fan favorite this year, Akuma, and making the five additional characters be all brand new. Players also had no incentive to buy the season pass as all these characters were hidden behind silhouettes. Yes, playing the guessing game can be fun to an extent, and yes, these characters can be unlocked for free with in-game fight money, but charging customers €30 for something when they have no idea what they're getting is ridiculous, like most season passes then, right? It should be said, though, that each of these new characters brought a unique fighting style and moveset to the game, and I believe and hope in the long run this decision for five all new characters will pay off. But in one single week, so much has changed. It's as if Capcom has been listening to their motherfucking fans. Last night, Capcom announced the Street Fighter 30th collection that we went through earlier today on the show. And if that was enough, Capcom released a Get Hype Gatorade moment Street Fighter V Arcade Edition Season 3 trailer showing the return of fan favorites Sakura, Blanka, Suave, Cody, two newcomers, and the king himself, Sagat. I'd personally recommend it to anybody. If you're on the fence of getting into Street Fighter V, Arcade Edition looks like a great place to start, releasing in January for $40 with 28 characters already unlocked and a really great looking arcade mode that takes players through every iteration of the series. Newcomers will then be able to use the easily earned initial fight money towards the excellent looking Season 3 roster. Last week, we also had the Mega Man X collection announcement, as well as a promising first look at Mega Man 11. I think the art style, while not the most preferable, looks quite nice, and the game shows a lot of potential. Fingers crossed. And with the rumors swirling about Devil May Cry 5 again, it looks like Capcom are listening to the fans and are giving them what they want with the announcement of the Devil May Cry HD collection. Sorry this is so long, but I thought we needed to give Capcom some praise where it's due. Now, where the fuck is Deep Down in the Onimusha reboot? Let's start there. Where the fuck is Deep Down? I don't know that we'll ever see that game again, but it is one of those, it's like Agents. She's gone to the wild. We see it a couple times at press conferences and then never again. Onimusha reboot, I think, would be the only chance of that series coming back. The problem that I was thinking about is going back to what we're talking about with GoldenEye is the licensing. I think that there's issues with Onimusha because of the likeness of Gene Reno in Onimusha 3.
Okay.
And
is that based on a real person?
Jean Reno?
Yeah. Oh, Jean Reno.
Yeah, I don't know how to say his name.
Oh, yeah, the actor from
Godzilla. 98's Godzilla.
Bam.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Got it.
Yeah, he's in Onimusha 3. Then the actor that plays Samunosuke, I don't know his name, but the main character of the franchise, is a super mega star in Japan. Yeah,
that could be some problems.
So I think that there's some problems there, but I don't know. That's just what I've heard. But I'd love a fucking Onimusha reboot. It'd be so great. But yeah, Capcom, I mean, they were having a very bad time for a while, and they were kind of on my shit list where it's just like, what are you doing, guys? And they were constantly putting out shitty ports and constantly just making really bad decisions. And it seems like Tim from Dublin's right. In the course of like a month, they've totally turned things around. And it's like, oh, they're going towards a consumer-friendly model where they're doing things that people actually want.
That's probably a good business model.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
You want longevity in your company?
I'm excited for how much they're supporting the Switch. I hope they keep going with all this. And yeah, Devil May Cry 5 it's happening. Like, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when's it going to be announced. And rumors are pointing to E3 now. So that's exciting for everyone. Let's see. I said it was our last question, but I lied because we got some questions for you, Nick.
Oh, it's your world. Cool. Ask away.
Jade Ask says, since Nick practices Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu,
yes,
has he ever played the EA UFC games to see how they play or perform?
I haven't played the EA UFC games. The last one I played was when I believe it was THQ used to have a license for it. I'd be interesting to play the EA games because the THQ games were notoriously like very difficult to control. Like, did you ever play them? Mm-mm. It required a lot of skill to figure it out because obviously you're making three fighting games in one, right? You've got stand up, you've got like clinch, and then you've got the ground game, and those have to be very separate controls. So they were cool and I liked them, but I've never gone back to the series since. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
Amy Gill says, what game is Nick looking forward to playing during the break?
Wolfenstein.
Yeah,
I've got it. So I was telling Kevin today on the morning show, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, that I had it and I was going to start playing it last night, but I went to sleep time too early.
Well, you had the break for you.
That's what happens.
Matthew Evans says, do you have a game of the year?
So, I mean, if I had to vote, if I got the vote, it would have been Zelda, but I'm not qualified to do that. I've only played like four games this year. Breath of the Wild was something that I was not expecting. It's one of those where I'm like, it's going to be a multi-hour experience, maybe like play it for 20, 30 hours. And I don't really want that.
I can't believe you committed.
I went in. Well, you know, it got me. It did something new and it did something fun. And I really went in for it.
Yeah.
I got. Of course, I didn't play Horizon, and everyone's like, ooh, Horizon should have won.
Horizon's great.
Yeah.
Now it's time to squad up. Whose question was that? Matthew Evans.
No.
Hey, Kinda Funny Games Daily crew. First time, long time, and all that jazz. My girlfriend, Clara, just got her virtual weed blown to smithereens by a troll in GTA Online, and hours of her grinding just went down the plug hole. It's sad. We have no dedicated crew to help out with the heists and group jobs, which are going to score her the big bucks. As we don't own a second PS4, I can't log in and help her out myself. Please, Kinda Funny best friends, reach out to Clarabella 125, so Clarabella 125 on PlayStation 4, and support this lady's very expensive virtual spending spree. P.S. Interested in all group activities in GTA Online, particularly heists. Please, no fools who refuse to follow objectives. Thank you, Kinda Funny, for the hours upon hours of entertainment. Much love from a UK-based member of the Silent Majority. Shout out to you, Sam, on behalf of Clara. Again, that's Clarabella 125. Help her make some of that weed money in GTA.
Get some of that Skrilla.
Get that Skrilla. Oh, now it's time for You're Wrong.
Let's see how many things I got wrong today. I didn't talk much, so there can't be too many things that I said wrong. But we'll figure it out.
We will.
People are like, you're crazy. Ready Player One's going to be a great movie. No, it's not. It just looks like a jumbled mess. But we'll see. This is coming from the person that, that reveres Daddy's Home.
Ready Edgemont. Yeah. Says God of War did not pioneer the QTE. The first QTE was in Dragon's Lair in 1983, but the term QuickTime Event was coined by Yu Suzuki, director of Shenmue, the game which made the feature famous slash more widely used. I'd argue things a couple of ways, but you're correct about Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair. Jesus.
Ooh, Capitalist Pig. The last Soul Calibur to be released was Soul Calibur 5 in North America on January 31st, 2012.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
They haven't done anything else with that license since?
It's been a while.
Wild. Wild. It's fine.
Technically, there was a free-to-play Soul Calibur game called Soul Calibur Lost Swords, a free-to-play fighter that came to PS3 April 22nd, 2014. And from Jams the Kuma.
Thanks, Jams the Kuma.
Capitalist Pig says the name of the Skeleton Knight in Medieval is Sir Daniel Fortesque.
Hmm. Okay.
Matt14X says the physics adventure game is Donut County, not country.
Kevin will still be in no matter what. It's fine. You got Donut in there. He's in. He loves him. Holes, too.
It's pronounced Blaze Blue, says TG Burt.
I feel like I should hum.
Jams the Kuma says the original Street Fighter was a fighting game, just not nearly as fondly remembered, which is why people don't talk about it.
That was the big one. Remember I said it was like a little side scroller. You were like, maybe. But it just, I thought it just only had two characters. Wasn't it just Ken and Ryu? Well, that'll be for tomorrow. Tell me if I'm wrong when I'm not watching.
I love Capitalist Pig so much, and I'm going to read this because he did a correction, and then he stroke it out, and he was just like, this is way too nitpicky even for me. But regarding GoldenEye, the 2007 version of GoldenEye 007 did not have a reloaded at the end of the name. It was just called GoldenEye 007. GoldenEye Reloaded was a PS3 360 port of the same game. I appreciate you. Keep yourself
dude,
honest.
Damn. That's how I know we're going to win one day, everyone. We're looking out. Good looking out. I'm the theme to the dating game now for all of you guys.
DJS Second Nature says Corey Balrog said God of War is 25 to 35 hours, not 35 to 40.
Still a long game for God of War.
Cool. And that's it. That's it. We did pretty good, Nick.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on. This was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you.
I'm glad that you had your choice of anyone in the industry and you were like, let's get Nick.
Video game legend, Nick Scarpino.
There it is.
Thank you for being a part of this last minute. Tomorrow, the host will be. I don't know, actually. We'll figure it out. Who knows? It's Greg. Greg will return, though.
Greg's for sure.
I know that for sure. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But until tomorrow, I love you. Thank you for being a part of this beautiful thing that we do. You have a good day.
Boo.
Oh, handshake, yeah.